We move right now directly into this week's Vents Day segment on the Jefferson Exchange, your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. This week, under the umbrella of censorship, we offer you space for comment on the banning or at least non-displaying of books and the covering of nudity. Before we get to the explanations, here's the phone number, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Emily Cureton joins me for this segment. So why these issues now? An Ashland bookstore recently put up a display of books that had once been banned. So a display of banned books. Company members from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival objected to the inclusion of the book Little Black Sambo with its racist depiction of an African child. After a couple of twists and turns, the festival told the bookstore it would do no business with it. So this raises the issue of printed matter and display, and under what circumstances, if any, information like printed material should be removed from circulation or removed from view. So that's part one of Vents Day, talking about books and printed matter. 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Now to the human body. The American Association of Nude Recreation holds its annual convention in Eugene this week. No plans to parade in the streets that we're aware of, but their presence gives us a chance to ask our community about how much of the human body should be exposed in public and whether the answers change depending on location and present company. So a couple of things to talk about here, books and bodies, and where the proper displays for those are, Emily.
Sure thing. Questions on the table include, under what circumstances should a book be taken out of circulation or off the shelf of a public display? Where is it acceptable to be topless? And what about completely naked? So we are sort of weaving two seemingly unrelated topics together. Roy in Ashland took our online survey. He says, seriously, topless? Is this a serious question or are you just trying to be titillating? So that from Roy and Ashland. Katrina in Klamath Falls says, well, I think it depends a lot on local demographics. And she's talking about the nudity part of our topics here today. Katrina wrote in, what might work in Ashland obviously isn't always appropriate here, where she lives in Klamath Falls. We want to know what you think about this week's topics. Nudity is one. The other arises from that window display in downtown Ashland. It showed a copy of the story of Little Black Sambo right alongside a copy of The Wizard of Oz and prompted a dust up between fixtures of downtown Ashland, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and Shakespeare Books and Antiques. Of course, that bookstore window is a longstanding display for banned books. And it's also worth noting that this season, a production of The Wiz is being performed by an all African American cast. And the two books were originally displayed right next to each other, raising the eyebrows of people of color who saw it and thought that there was a message in the proximity there. Let's get your take on the issues raised here. Under what circumstances should a book be displayed, offered for sale, or distribution, or rather not be displayed, offered for sale, or distribution? And how should a history of racism be acknowledged and dealt with? What's the value in considering these racist books from the past? Give us your thoughts here, 800-838-3760. Join us through an email at jx@jeffnet.org, or you can find our survey on Facebook or visit us at our website, jeffexchange.org.
And the other shoe, of course, and I put this under the overall umbrella of censorship, is when we talk about the human body as well. Here again, we're talking about nudists in Eugene, but obviously lots of communities have dealt with the issue. It gets down to things as mundane as breastfeeding. I know it's not mundane for the people doing it involved, but the point being that we get a little hung up on bodies as well. Where should bodies and books, printed material, human bodies be hidden from view? What are the circumstances under which that's appropriate? Those are the questions on the table today on Vents Day. So let's get your take on this at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Back with your phone calls and emails and more survey results in a minute 10.
It's Vents Day here on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Emily Cureton in the studio with Jeffrey Riley. And you, it's your chance to share your thoughts and opinions on two topics that we throw out on the table every week. You can join us by phone, 800-838-3760, by email, jx@jeffnet.org, or go to our website, jeffexchange.org, and take our online survey there. Jeff, this week we asked people about both topics in one survey. One, of course, dealing with issues of racist imagery displayed in downtown Ashland and whether or not removing that imagery from a bookstore window constitutes censorship. And the other issue is the nudists descending upon Eugene this weekend and what they have in mind. We'll actually have them on the program, or a couple of representatives from a national organization of nudists, on Friday morning. So maybe we can rev up our thoughts here and flesh them out on Friday with the American Association of Nude Recreation.
You had to say flesh them out?
I sure did, yeah.
Okay. I just want to be clear on that. So let's talk about the value in particularly in printed material, whether there is anything to be gained from keeping racist depictions or other things, not necessarily racist, that people just find offensive, older attitudes toward women, perhaps, that are still listed in printed material or on posters or even in comic books. I'm reminded that if you look at comic books from World War II, and you look at the depictions of German and Japanese enemy characters, they make your skin crawl. But you do learn from those. I mean, you're not going to feel the same way about them that you would have as a child in the 1940s, perhaps. But when you look at them now, you realize, wow, this is how people felt back then. It's educational, if not pleasant. And so the question again is, when does it work to obscure from view things that we considered literature in the past, things that were acceptable once and may not be acceptable now?
And this issue, it was stoked by a specific book, in this case, The Story of Little Black Sambo, which was written and illustrated by a Scottish author, Helen Bannerman. It was first published a long time ago, 1899. I was reading a bit about it, Jeff, on Wikipedia, and the editors agreed, and I quote here, "The story was a children's favorite for more than half a century, but would become a victim of allegations of racism in the mid-20th century." That phrase, victim of allegations of racism, referencing the book, really stuck with me. On our survey this week, we asked, under what circumstances should a book be taken out of circulation? This display in Ashland, it included books that had been banned because people said they were racist. It also included books that were banned because they were too progressive racially. So covering both sides of the spectrum there, Andrew in Ashland writes, prominently displayed books that are hurtful in nature fall under the same category as flying the Confederate flag. Wrong. If Starbucks started flying the Confederate flag, I think an angry outcry would be warranted. Of course, no book should be taken out of circulation, but insulting a person's race should be. That comes from Andrew in Ashland, likening the display of a children's book with a caricature of a black child, widely considered offensive, to flying a Confederate flag. So what do you think when you see a caricature like Little Black Sambo, or when you see the stars and bars on the back of somebody's pickup truck? We want to hear from you, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org.
Here's a call from Rick in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. I think it's a double-edged sword, especially for, the Ashland area, knowing the history of Ashland and Medford back in the 20s when the Klan was very prominent here. So, for some African Americans that moved here that know the history, some of these things still haven't changed for us. Or we don't know that it changed because, it's still prevalent here somewhat. But, you have to, give Ashland and the Shakespearean, festival and the intellects there, they're trying to raise awareness of what happened. So, it's really a no-win situation. But I do agree that any book that is hurtful should not, not taken out of circulation, but, like the other person said, it's like raising the Confederate flag. So that's my comment.
All right. Thanks for that, Rick. Appreciate that. I got curious just now about why it was that The Wizard of Oz itself was cast aside as a banned book in some places, and just went to go look this up, and it ran the gamut. Not surprisingly, when you talk about wizardry and witchcraft and some of the things that appear in The Wizard of Oz, you run up against fundamentalist religions, and fundamentalist Christians did have issues with The Wizard of Oz in its day. And, of course, now it's just considered really, really sweet childhood kinds of stuff. But also the fact that there were animals that had human characteristics. and the fact that there was a strong women's character were among the reasons that some libraries and some school districts banned The Wizard of Oz a century ago.
I'd love to see that school board meeting agenda from 1930-aught or whenever it came out. Did they actually say, that female character's just a little too strong, just a little too strong for us? I want to know what you think about censorship, and does this dust up in Ashland over the display of a banned book constitute censorship? Really, what happened according to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival is a little different than what happened according to some of the newspaper coverage of it. Our last caller, Rick, brought up an interesting point that there is a history of racial exclusion in Oregon and in Ashland specifically, and that perhaps some sensitivity might be warranted on account of that. We were looking actually at last month's issue of the Atlantic magazine. It had a historical image of Ku Klux Klan members marching down Siskiyou Boulevard, actually not far from where this bookstore window would be. The black and white photo is dated to approximately the 1920s. And the article by Alana Samuels points out that Oregon didn't actually ratify the 15th Amendment, which gave black people the right to vote, until 1959, nearly 90 years after it passed. One of only six states to do that, to refuse to ratify the 15th Amendment.
Exclusion laws stayed on the books for a long time in Oregon. The overall arching issue of this Vents Day is censorship, when it's advisable to keep certain things out of public view. And we're talking about books and bodies. We're talking about nudity in public in addition to ideas that may no longer be in vogue, and whether it is good to pull those off of store shelves. And we're talking in this case about a banned book display that was showing things that had been banned in the past and why. Do we remove those things because it offends somebody's sensitivities, or do we bring them out in public so they should be seen and discussed? That's an issue for you to help us decide. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Nicole in Ashland. Welcome to The Exchange on Vents Day.
Oh, good morning. I see this as a double-edged sword. I don't think, well, just like the Holocaust, it hasn't been buried or suppressed. It's been brought out so people don't forget, and hopefully no repetition of anything of that sort. And I think this is the same sort of thing. I can understand both sides. I've known Judy for quite a while as an acquaintance.
Who owns the bookstore? Mm-hmm.
Yes, and she definitely has no, her intention, I think, was just to bring out the, or keep these in public view, perhaps, so that we wouldn't just gloss over them or forget them, although I'm not sure, I haven't talked to her about it at all. But anyway, she and her husband are both very liberal-minded people, mm-hmm. and I think it was just a clash. And the Oregon Festival has been so open and inclusive that it's an interesting dynamic, but it definitely, I think this sort of thing should never be buried or put out of sight.
All right.
Because it's more likely to happen again. Thank you.
Thanks, Nicole. Appreciate it. And I want to make this bigger than just the two entities involved. I want to make de-emphasize the bookstore and the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, because it raises questions that exist for many people in society. The issue of, well, I mean, do you put something out there to say this is offensive now? It was not offensive once. You know, do you, and for that matter, if you had a book that was about the writing of Little Black Sambo and not Little Black Sambo itself, does that change the context? Does that change the level of offensibility?
Yeah, I think in the interest of fairness, where this began was born more in imagery than the content of the book itself. And this caricature, which is familiar in American history, of a black person looking more like a white person in blackface, being featured next to imagery from a story that's figured very prominently into the Oregon Shakespeare Festival season and their marketing for The Wiz. So I think conversations there somehow devolve. This is an interesting case because so often well-intentioned people can still come to a misunderstanding. We've had several conversations on The Exchange in these past few weeks led by people of color interacting and taking questions about what it feels like to be such an extreme minority in Oregon and in the Rogue Valley. I think you raise a very interesting point, Jeff, and I'd love to broaden the question. Does this constitute censorship? And how do, one question that's come up over and over in these forums is, well, how do we deal with a racist past? Like Nicole says, is sort of not looking at these images tantamount to burying it. On the other hand, does it show a lack of empathy for people that have grown up with racism and live with it every day to have this on the same Main Street where the Klan walked not, you know, 90 years ago?
Yeah, all kinds of stuff to think about here, and we want to get you in the conversation. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Paul in Talent, welcome to the Exchange on Vents Day.
Yes, good morning. Well, it seems to me on the book banning is that repression always breeds revolt. We saw the Catholics try to ban books back in the 14th and 15th century, and led to the Protestant Revolution, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's a fruitless effort. It just increases the resistance of the opponents. So why not let it all hang out, and let's use it as a vehicle of discussion. And by being able to discuss something freely, we certainly get a better perspective on not only our own heritage, but also the mindset, you know, the mindset of our ancestors, which is quite different than our mindset now. We simply can't equate the two mindsets, so why would we want to do that?
Thank you, Paul. I think that's an interesting point that using today's standard for history is often a problematic way to think about history or get the most out of understanding it.
I'm smiling because I'm reminded of just thinking recently about my wife and I were talking about different versions of the Bible offered over the years. And the fact is that that when you make translations of the Bible, they're written in the language of your time, which may be completely different. I mean, this is for any book that's been held for thousands of years and translated over and over again. Sometimes mm-hmm. from translation to translation, you lose things in history. And so there is some value, I think, in keeping the original context around. The question is how much you put it out there. And I guess when I'm thinking about racist imagery, it came to mind again some of the images that the Nazis circulated about what the prototypical Jew looked like. Mm-hmm. In the days leading up to World War II, these are really offensive images, I think, to any human being in today's world. But having seen them, I now know a little more about the Nazi mindset. Mm. I didn't like them, didn't agree with them, but they taught me something about somebody else's way of thinking.
Well, you mentioned a phrase there, putting it all out there. I'd like to segue to our other topic. Perhaps a little lighter for some of us, for me anyway, talking about nudity and where it is that we can be naked, where it is we can be topless, and do we scrutinize flesh and bodies differently depending on if it's a man or a woman, if they're skinny or fat, if, you know, what are our standards there? This is prompted, of course, by a nudist convention happening in Eugene this weekend. Josh in Ashland wrote into our survey, and he says that he's fine with being naked everywhere that weather permits. Sounds like Josh might have a good time at the American Association for Nude Recreation's annual convention this weekend. The theme there, of course, put on a happy face. Other respondents to our survey might say, put on some pants. Allison Ashland says being naked should be an at-home or in-the-shower thing only. Andrew in Ashland says that going buff is okay, quote, out of public view. He says that times will change when it comes to topless women, but not anytime soon. He says, I look forward to that day and I will try to look you in the eye. So what do you think about nakedness? Give us your naked opinions. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org.
Joe in Talent writes, public nudity should probably be left up to the local sense of what is decent or not, I guess. We had nude beaches in eastern Florida above Cape Kennedy, and I remember as a teenager with a freshly minted driver's license gathering up my friends for a long-anticipated trip north for a look-see. As with most things, what we see in our mind's eye and what we actually see is a very, very wide gulf. Needless to say, we did not have the erotic experience we'd imagined, and we're taught a lesson about what advanced age can do to the human body. I think the best policy is not to offend, and there are plenty of places one can walk with nature without exposing yourself in a mall to make a point. We have another call here from John in Grants Pass who wants to talk about both of our topics on Vents Day. Hi, John.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I think it's always a good idea to put things in perspective. Compare us with other places in the world. And as I understand it, the nudity thing, obviously in Europe, sounds like it's much more open, probably Brazil, but there are also areas like the Middle East where, oh my God, there's no chance. It's very conservative. conservative. And I think probably, so it's a good thing to put it in perspective, first of all. And then about the censorship thing, putting it in perspective, I think, is a good idea. I mean, there have been some books banned over the years, but out of the millions of books out there, I can't think of even five books that I can think of. And I was a high school teacher for 30 years, and that, I can't think of any books that were banned. I could probably come up with maybe five, so I don't think everybody, maybe, I think some people are maybe overreacting a little bit to the censorship thing. It hasn't happened very often, and the courts, my gosh, you can go to the internet right now and get anything you want. So I just don't, and I'm sure there are areas of, once again, Europe that are much more open and other areas that are conservative, but I just think putting both topics in perspective and looking at us compared to other areas is valuable thing to do. Thanks.
All right, so but John, before you go, though, I mean, just in yeah. terms of sensitivity, then not banning so much as just removing from view because people could be offended. I mean, sure. Where do you stand on that?
I mean, I consider myself to be a very liberal guy, but I could see where that might happen. There could be something, like you said, this national situation that could be. And also, in, you know, I'm pretty much, if people want to run around with no clothes on, that's fine, but do it privately. I have no irons to deal. No thanks.
All right.
Anyway, thank you. I don't know if I answered the question, but thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling, John. Appreciate that. This is Vince Day on The Exchange, talking about books and bodies and when either should be removed from view and what the circumstances should be. 800-838-3760 by phone, email jx@jeffnet.org.
I think it's worth pointing out that the sort of incident that spurred a lot of the issues we're talking about today with the books and censorship and banning them, it did arise out of a disagreement over a window display in Ashland. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival did issue a statement about that, characterizing it as a misunderstanding. This is from the executive director and the artistic director. That's Cynthia Ryder and Bill Rausch, respectively. They wrote to the Ashland newspaper, "While we are deeply frustrated that polite requests, honest criticism, and heartfelt dialogue are being portrayed as censorship, we celebrate the fact that these conversations about race and diversity are happening. Our country is in the midst of a long overdue second civil rights movement, and we should be looking with fresh eyes at things that we used to take for granted, even something as simple as a bookstore display." That from the heads of OSF.
Okay, got a couple of calls here waiting. Let's go to Bob and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yes, when I was a child, that book was read to me. And what I remember about it was the pancakes that were involved and the kind of the idea that there was a black child in the story wasn't as important because it took place in the jungle. And so the fact that he was black just seemed like, well, he was in Africa or something, and people in there, Africa, were black. Subsequent to that, I noticed the book later on, some years later, they had changed the name of the story to Little Brave Sambo. And I thought that was sort of, because I'd never thought of it as a situation that had to do with a person's race. And then finally, in California, there was a chain of restaurants, pancake restaurants, I remember one in Santa Barbara area.
It's still there?
It was called Sambo's.
I remember that. Yeah, in Connecticut, they were making that change and calling the store the restaurants Jolly Tiger instead of Sambo's.
Yeah, they changed the name of the restaurant. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. Let's see, Liv in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Thank you. Just a quick comment on both things. I remember when I was breastfeeding, the dirty looks I got. And I always wondered why this country seems so much more enamored of blood and war movies and things like that as opposed to the human body. And on the second one, if you had mentioned the depictions of the Jewish people during the war, and if that book had on it one of those depictions, I think there would have been a lot more public outrage. And I think it's time we grew up in how we look at and treat African Americans, especially after Bill O'Reilly's comment in response to Michelle Obama's, "I wake up in a building that was built by slaves, well, at least they were well fed." I mean, that kind of absolute white privilege, it's time we talk about it, but I don't think you want to put it in somebody's face. And I think the book should be in a bookstore, but I think it's totally insensitive, and it's time we became sensitive and, yes, politically correct. That's my comment.
All right. Thanks for that, Olivia.
Interesting thought. If today's political climate informs how you feel, or maybe has changed how you feel, given the rhetoric of the presidential election and some of the racially delineated tensions we're seeing now in politics. Interesting, the dirty looks while breastfeeding in public. That was a point that I wanted to ask folks about. If you get weird looks when you breastfeed in public, or are you someone who gives people weird looks while they're breastfeeding? This is a space to share your opinions. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org.
I noticed, too, in the process of looking up side topics for what we're talking about here today, that there is the, I was reminded of the Free the Nipple campaign.
I saw you type that on the screen, yeah.
I know, you can't get away with that stuff in the news. But what it is that women are questioning why it is that men get to walk around without their shirts on. And you see men with their shirts off in public a lot, and trust me, it's just not always the best look, but that point aside, they have the freedom to do so. Women do not. And so the question is, I mean, where does breastfeeding become, I'm going topless? You know, if you have twins, for example, and you're feeding them at the airport, are you now topless officially?
I think it would be naive to deny that women's bodies are not held to a different standard of scrutiny and control than men's throughout history. I'll stand by that thesis.
Sure. Okay. But then when you look at the discussion of breasts from living creatures versus breasts on statues, which generally go uncovered unless John Ashcroft
or
is the
attorney. Or breasts that aren't feeding a baby, breasts that are sexualized.
Yeah, so yeah. All kinds of stuff that goes on here. We have a final call here from Vajra in Sunny Valley. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. My original comment was going to be about the Ku Klux Klan sort of milieu in Grants Pass. There is a, that relates to this, there is a store that has Nazi paraphernalia proudly displayed, not as a museum kind of thing, but as something that's on for retail sale.
Wow.
But, very offensive, especially to my husband, who's the survivor of a child of Holocaust survivors. But you expanded it up a little bit to include all kinds of censorship. And what I'd like to see is a discussion about the censorship that's going on at the university level with people who don't agree with all of the trans activist viewpoints about what a transgender, and that people who believe there's a biological basis for being a woman or a man are not allowed to speak.
All right, Vajra. Sounds like a topic for another Vince Day as we close out here. Only a few seconds remaining. Thank you so much for your call, and thanks to everyone who participated. We couldn't do it without you, and hopefully we've created a conversation in your home, car, wherever you are. I'm Emily Curitan.
I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks so much for listening to Vince Day once again on the Jefferson Exchange on JPR.